night I said, okay, Lord, I've had it. I'm going to get up and I'm going to write these things down. And then I can just give them to the pastor. So I did that. I got up and I wrote and wrote and wrote. And then the next morning I go to the pastor's house and I go, here, I don't care what you do with it, but I got to be able to sleep. So he looked at Karen and said, do you think the way I'm thinking? And she just agrees and nods as a faithful woman of God does. And he said, if God gave it to you, you got to share it. And I'm thinking, no way. Not me. I don't get up and do public speaking at all. But that's when I realized it's not me. It's God. So I want to start with prayer and ask God to share his views with you and his heart with you right now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you do care about each one of us and you want us to grow in you and you want us to be humble in you. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would just give me the words to speak and that we'd all be inspired to follow your will and your commands. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in studying, I was reading, actually in my last few weeks of reading, about Paul and reading some about Jesus and really inspired with Paul's enthusiasm. But then I came to the day that Jesus did something so amazing. To me, it was the Last Supper. He did an act that brought me to tears. I just sobbed and I thought, which one of us are doing these things? So I want to read that act. I don't know if any of you know what he did that was more powerful than even the words for his people. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So I want to reflect on how we can be washing one another's feet. What acts can we do? Because it's what we do within our body that speaks a lot to those outside of the body. I remember one time I was speaking about the closeness, and I don't know why. I'm always humbled by the fact that God has been with me since a little girl and just walked with me and helped me through my stumbling. And trust me, I do a lot of stumbling. I have a lot of sins I carry. So when I see the Lord reach out and speak through me or talk to me, it just brings me to tears. If you ever run into me, I'm a custodian at the high school, and I used to be a midwife for years. And one thing I know is God answers prayer. Amen. God answers prayer, and you need it when you're in labor, because every child is a miracle. And, you know, just the beauty of it is amazing. But I can hear, there's a song that's sung where all these people are praising God and worshiping God in other languages. And I'm telling you, if you run into me and I'm listening to that song, I'm crying. I'm crying because the praises of God is so beautiful, so beautiful. And that's needed. We have got to become a prayer church. Praying and praising. Those two things please the Lord. And I know Pastor was talking about prayer and Paul, and I've been reading a lot about Paul and his enthusiasm, but here the Lord was. How many of us have ever been a boss or had a boss wash their feet? As a boss, how many of you have washed somebody else's feet or have had your boss wash your feet? That's just not going to happen. But that's what happened to the disciples. He showed them, this is how you're going to reach other people. You've got to do this for one another. And that's taking on the heart to care, to take that time. So I think of years, sometime later, Paul, who was Saul, he's out there and he is doing this, what he feels is right. He's a very educated man. And he's doing what he thinks is right. So he's going out and he's collecting Christians, throwing them in prison, you know, out there killing them. And what was one of our commands is to pray for those, for our enemies, for those who despitefully use us. Well, somebody had to be praying for Paul. And the Lord also knew this man who is doing these wicked things has such enthusiasm, I'm going to bring him around. Now, remember, being educated, sometimes the more educated we get, the harder it is to get us there. And that's the way it was. Saul really thought he was doing what he was supposed to do. And God had to teach him a hard, humbling lesson. Knocking him off his horse, causing him to be blind. And guess what's going to bring him back? The prayers of those who were running from him. I mean, it was causing the Christians to scatter, and you didn't want to get caught by Paul. It was either death, prison, something terrible. And here he is, and he's led to be prayed for by them. And God humbled Paul in such a way that Paul became mighty in his ministry. But it says in the Word that Paul, before he left to, let me find it. He said that he spent much time praying in prayer and in, I have done the Lord's work humbly. This is in Acts 20. Humbly and with many tears, I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sins and turning to God, and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So that is the most important thing there. It is so true. My life is as nothing. I don't know why, but God wants all of us. One of his last words is go. Go and preach the gospel. Make disciples of everyone. Well, we're not going to do that if we're not at peace with God and in prayer for one another. This is one of my downfalls, you know, being there for one another, seeing the needs, meeting the needs. It's so easy for us to have that conflict of, I know this better than you do, or I live better than you do, but that's not the truth. Do we have to be humbled like Paul? We need to be saying, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work signed me by the Lord Jesus. And one of the downfalls is sometimes we forget. One of my downfalls was, I was out there, the Lord put me in the workforce at OSU, and I was out there, and man, I just would leave scriptures in the dorm rooms and, you know, do all these things and talking to the guys about the Lord. It was mostly guys in the shop, and I had a girlfriend there. But then the Lord one day took that away. And I mean, I sank because I felt like if I am not doing the Lord's work, what am I here for? I don't even want to live. If I can't be out there reaching lives, what am I here for? And depression started taking, you know, it's a trick of Satan. He will use anything and everything to pull us down. Well, years later, I went through this trial and deep time and shared with some people who prayed for me. And then I get this phone call and I needed to go and take care of my mother who was dying of cancer. I'm there and I'm going, oh God, now I'm starting to see the picture. I could not have done this if you hadn't put me in that place. And then God puts me in another job when I got back after a couple of months of working down there. My mother died almost immediately. I got another job. And then Stan calls me and says, hey, there's an opportunity at Philomath High School. And, you know, you just give out your resume and do the interviews, and then God opens and closes doors. But we have to know that God is opening and closing those doors for us. You've got to have that kind of knowledge of God. He is what I tell my kids all the time, the blessed controller of all things. Whether it looks bleak or good or bad, he's still the blessed controller. And when I go down, I say that to the Lord. Lord, you're the blessed controller of all things. I may not understand, but I know that something else is going to happen. Or if I'm not in use anymore, I just as soon go and be with you, because that's my main goal, is to be with the Lord. But on this earth, our main goal is to reach others. But I did notice that too many times we carry things within ourselves. We don't want people to know our trials and tribulations. Well, we have got to learn to first be able to pray for one another in the church. So this is one thing. I don't care how much God has given you or how little you feel you have. Some have homes, some don't. Some, you know, are out on the streets, some rent. But no matter what, we all have one thing in common. We all need one thing, and that is prayer. I wanted to point out, how many of you are pastors? Raise your hands. One, two, three, four. So we have pastors here. Five. We all are right, called to be pastors. And we have elders. We have prayer warriors in the church. But how many of us that are out there need prayer? How many pastors need prayer? We all need prayer. And we have to be willing to humble ourselves and reach out for that prayer. Because if we don't, we will sink on our own. That's why we have this body. That's why when she goes into labor, we all want to pray for her. She needs the strength. We need to be praying for her. But everyone has needs, whether it's in your family. I remember a time, and I may have said this before, when my life was as Catherine and Kyle with their little ones, or you with your little ones. And I thought, oh, my goodness, God, life just couldn't get better. I was blessed. I had a couple of little kids, one girl, one boy, and my life, I was on top of the world. And I thought, wow, I really believed it was going to stay there. And the Lord says, oh, you have so much ahead of you yet to come. So you better stay in my word, because you're going to need it. You better stay on your knees, because you're going to need it. You better stay worshiping me, because you're going to need it. And that's the way life comes. But even Paul mentions through his trials and tribulations, he said before he left to go be tried, he knew he wasn't coming back. And he says, I do this with much tears and tribulations, tears of crying. He knew what the churches was going to face, and he wept. He prayed for the churches, even in prison. Paul never, ever stopped ministering to the churches, which I think was a great ministry, but to others all around and getting them. The word just got everywhere because of the tribulations and trials and that were coming against the Christians. And we sometimes get so comfortable in our world. We're not in Israel or in other countries that they actually will come against you or put us in prison. We do have this freedom, but we abuse the freedom. We get lax in our world, and we think of ourselves. I mean, me too. I'm talking about myself. You know, I live in my own little world. I don't even live in Philomath. And yet God chooses to have me see the needs of the kids in the high school. I don't know what he chooses to show you the needs are, but our lives have to, the best way actually to get out of our sinkingness is to realize our lives have to be in going out and sharing the gospel. We have to shine the lights, whatever way it is, whether it's meeting the needs of somebody that has a need or maybe praying for someone. Prayer is the most effective thing. But we have got to start right here in our church. We have prayer warriors. We have, if you have internet, we have a prayer list that goes out to people. If you don't, we can always give calls. We can get phone numbers, but we need to be praying for one another. We need to constantly be praying for our pastor. But there is Every young couple needs prayer for their, as they're raising their kids. One thing that really, really blessed me, went over to watch Kyle's and Catherine's kids last night, and before they left on their little fifth year, by the way, it's 5 years for them, they collected the children and me, and they said, we want to pray. And that is so precious. God wants us to live in prayer at all times. You know, we minister, even in our prayers, we minister. And God reaches lives. He wants to see us humble enough to stop, pray, pray again. You know, sometimes I get wrapped up in conversations with people, and I say, well, I'll be praying. And I think after I hung up, oh, no, I got to call them back or do something, because don't let go. Pray right then and there. Pray right then and there. And so many times I've called the pastor about this or that, and he says, well, let me pray. Or Karen, let me pray. So we want to pray for people, but we have to be humble enough to say, I need prayer. Or my child needs prayer. Or my neighbor needs prayer. I'm going over to my neighbors. Get somebody on your phone list that you can call and say, I'm going over to my neighbors and I don't want to blow it. I want to be a light. I want to be a shining light. We need to be there for one another in prayer. It's first got to start here. If they see us out there in the world and we're carrying a load and we're not giving our burdens to the Lord, then we're not being very effective. We're not being very effective. I've seen some group of kids out there and they're very effective. And I say, wow, you know, we as a body need to be effective to other people, but we need to pray for one another. That's got to be praying for this pastor that's out there trying to minister and thrown in prison, but we need to be praying for one another here. Praying for one another that we can know how to speak, know how to share the light, but for their burdens, help, you know, I need to be able to call you and say, I am weighed down with this. I need you to pray that I can give it to the Lord, give it at the cross. So I've got a notepad that I want to pass around, and I want everybody to take a page off, and I want a basket at the end, and I want everybody to throw it in there. You don't have to put names on, but throw your prayer request, your burdens on that piece of paper, give it to the Lord, and we will pray over those prayer requests. And I want us all to find somebody that we can put on our prayers. I don't want anyone in this church that doesn't have somebody, even outside your home, that you can call and say, pray for me. Because there isn't a perfect family here. There isn't anyone that doesn't carry something or have a need of some sort. We all of us who have children definitely have needs. Definitely have needs. Right? Amen? I mean, you know, you do the best you can, but so did Paul, so did the Lord, you know, and still, you got needs. If you've got children, you've got needs, or grandchildren. It extends. And we need to be praying for one another. We need to know. You need to have that prayer partner. All of those who have husbands or wives need prayer, right? Correct? And anybody that has a perfect marriage, there's never any problems? I don't think so. So we have to be honest and say, I need prayer. I haven't been humble enough. And that, for me, is a real struggle, is being that humble. I tend to, I'm going to confess right now, my biggest struggle in life is when I see another Christian not doing what I feel Christ set for us to do. And it's a struggle for me. I just want to take him and say, do you realize what you're doing? Others are seeing this. Or how do you see this as being a testimony? But the Lord is trying to teach me, you be humble. And I've had to go back and apologize and say, hey, you know, I had strong words with you. I had no right to. As a brother and sister in the Lord, I just need to be praying for you, and I just ask you to forgive me for being so out there with it. Sometimes we need to be out there with it, but we also need to be humble. We need to watch words, but we need to pray. If somebody's rubbing us the wrong way, we need to pray. We tend to hurt the ones we love the most, unfortunately. We need to pray. And it's okay, but we've got to look at it in a humble way, like Jesus when he was washing the feet. You know, he put that towel on and he got down there and he's washing the feet of his disciples. We have got to be humble. And he says, you don't even know what's coming. I do. You don't know what's coming. And sometimes I look at parents who get all excited and say, oh, you need prayer. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. Being married isn't an easy task. Being in any relationship isn't. But we need to be there to pray for one another. And we need to not keep it all in and try to make each other think, I live this perfect life. You know? And sometimes we do look at others. Oh, man, Pastor, he's got it so good. You know, the Lord just blesses him all the time, and he has it so good. You don't know what Pastor carries, so be praying for Pastor. Seriously, pray for Pastor and Karen, his wife, who is also a pastor. Be praying for our pastors. Whenever I really struggle, sometimes I just say, okay, I need to pray for Pastor and his wife, because we need to be there for one another. So my burden and the Lord's burden is that we get out there, go and make disciples of them all, of each other, but we have to do it with prayer. Prayer is the only thing that's going to work. We have to be humble enough to go up to someone and say, you know what? I need prayer. I need prayer. Or this person's struggling. You can't make it a thing of gossip, but a thing of I care about you. And I want to pray for you. So I think now is a good time. I would like, can you tear a piece of paper off?
Yes.
And if you don't have a pen or pencil, there's some on the back of these seats. Put your prayer request in them, and then we'll collect them. Yeah, just tear a page off, and you may be able to fill it. And I want us to focus on how can we be more like Christ and being humble as we go out and be disciples. How can we do that? And how can we have the same enthusiasm that Paul has? And yet, remember, I am nothing. And before that, Paul thought he was everything. You know, I mean, he can collect and do all these things of collecting the Christians and getting them punished because they're the wrong people. And yet God humbled him and showed him otherwise. And we have got to be there for one another. I know Karen has spoken on prayer so many times. It's always a strong thing in her heart. How do we get our church in prayer? That's how we get people's lives touched. I know I shared it one time. I don't care if it's a stranger. If they take the time to share a need with you, I was at a gas station once. And this guy, he was limping and his leg was wrapped up. And I said, oh, you got a problem? He said, oh, yeah. And he was telling me about the accident he had in his leg. And I said, you know what? I'll pray. I'll pray. It's taken the time to pray. Whether it means anything, never saw the guy again, that doesn't matter. Pray. Because when they hear it, and then when God does the miracles, it means a lot to them. It causes them to start thinking. That reminds me, I know I'm kind of off. Amy McPherson, who started the Four Square Church, she was preaching these powerful messages and preaching these powerful messages because God sent her to do it. Well, and then one day she's preaching Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Another thing Jesus says, you will do these things that I've done and greater. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You're not doing that without prayer. You're not doing that without prayer. It's God. And so she had these people the next day. They're lined up, people in wheelchairs and crutches. And she looks out through the tent and out at the congregation in the front where all these people in wheelchairs and crutches. And she's going, oh, Lord, I can't go out there. They're expecting something. they're expecting something. She didn't know what to do. And the Lord says, you go out there, you lay hands on them, I'll do the rest. Because it's not our place. We have no power within us to heal the lame. We have no power in us. You let God do the work. You do your job. Your job is to get out there and minister to other people. So you do the praying. Let God do the miracles. Because we are too wrapped up in our lives and we're not caring enough about all these people out there that need Him. And until we strengthen ourselves in prayer for one another, build ourselves first in prayer, and then go out there and be praying for other people, we're not going to see this church grow. Prayer is the key answer. Doing as Christ did, and one of the best ways to be washing one of those feet is to be praying and having that concern and taking the time to say, I care. I care. I care about your need. You're the baby coming. I care about your children and your children and your children and those in ministry. Pray for me. Pray for me. I don't want to blow it, and I tend to blow it all the time, but I'm out there around students, and it's important that I say things when the government wants to say, well, you can't really share the word, you can't really speak about the Lord, you can't really, you know, you got to watch it, you can't really pray. Well, yeah, I can. And then God's got to cover it. And, you know, I need to always remember that. And I do. I can't say I always do, but I will go up to a student that the Lord just will not let go and say, you need to say something to the student. You need to let them know you're praying for them. And that's what we have to do. I don't know what your jobs are, but every one of us has an opportunity to touch others' lives. I don't care if it's your family, a neighbor, the person in the grocery store, in the parking lot. I don't care what it is, but we have an opportunity, but we're not going to do it without prayer. So anyways, everyone's collecting and writing their prayers down. Does anyone here have need for their children's prayers for their children besides me? Especially those that the younger groups, they're doing what, you know, God has told them to do and God's going to be with them. But as they get older, we tend to see them struggling. So we need to pray for one another's children. And at this point, while we're filling out, I think I'm going to have Marcy pray for all these grown children that are out there. And I know Marcy and I have shared a lot with our children's struggles. And, you know, there isn't a family here that doesn't have children that aren't struggling in one area or another. And I'm going to have Marcy pray for the older children that are out there and need prayer, and the parents who struggle with that. We often say, How did this happen? You know, I tried my best. I did this and I did that, and I really knew God was guiding that. But how did this happen? And we asked that question, how did it happen? But it happened to all along in Scripture. It happened. You know, Jesus made this perfect path for us. And we still stumble and fall, and, oh, you just do these things and your life will be good. And then it's good, and then we go our own way. And that's what we see in our children. That's what we see. David, a man after God's own heart, he struggled with his children mightily, but he loved them right to the end. God loves us. The other thing I wanted to bring out, some of us deal with health issues. And that's a hard one. I was talking with a lady yesterday, and she is dealing with so many health issues. I've known this lady for 30-some years, maybe 40 years. I would not have recognized her had I seen her on the street. Her health issues are that severe. And she said to me, she says, you know, I accepted the Lord when she was a teenager. I accepted the Lord. I love him. But right now, I don't understand why. Why have I been suffering with this for years? Why? And, you know, what do you say? What do you say to someone that's suffering like that? These are the needs we need to be able to come and say to someone in the church, do you understand that I am struggling with my relationship with God? I don't understand why my children are going astray. I don't understand why I have these health issues. I don't know, understand why I lost a child or two or three. I don't understand this. All I could say to her was, God is the blessed controller of all things. He does love you. He will be with you. I also got a book I'm going to give her. Stan, will you hold it up? If you don't know what to say to somebody struggling with health issues, it's written by Philip Yancey. This one I bought because it's, can you read the two titles? Where's God When I Hurt? And Disappointment with God. I'll never forget, somebody brought that book to me, Disappointment with God. And I'll tell you, at the time, I would not have told you I was disappointed with God. I had had several losses, and I was pretty disappointed with God. I mean, wasn't I doing the right things? How can this happen to me? I was very disappointed. Somebody gave me just that one book, Disappointment with God, and I thought, really? Do you dare to admit it? And I read that book, and I was so encouraged. And where is God when I hurt? These are some great things to have on hand. And if you don't have the words, give them something that will encourage them. But we need to pray for one another. She kind of quit going to church for a while. I don't know if she's going back and forth, but that's what we tend to do. When we're hurting, we stop going to church and we stay in ourselves and we wallow in our, but we have to have somebody in church we can call and say, pray for me. I'm struggling. I think at, and I usually call Marcy. She's a good one to call, by the way. And even if she's not struggling with the same thing, she will tell you who else is. And that's what she's done for me when I was struggling with that OSU thing. She's like, I know somebody is struggling with the same thing. You know, maybe this is a good person to talk to. So a lot of times when we go through these trials and tribulations, we don't realize how much God is going to use it in the future. We have to get to the point we trust God. He will use it in the future because God is what? The blessed controller of all things. Blessed controller. So no matter how good or how bad it looks, I know. I went to a seminar once and this lady spoke on that and I never forgot that saying. That's what the title was. God is the blessed controller of all things. So as I lost my little perfect world out there with the two children and everything was going perfect, Stan had a job, we were traveling to Ohio, and as that started to crumble, I would just say to myself, God, you are the blessed controller of all things, and know it, and I know it. I know he is. No matter what I go through, I know there's a purpose. There's a reason. And sometimes we don't see it till later. I didn't see when I lost that job. I didn't see when I lost children that God was going to use it. But God used everything. And I now know that he can turn things around no matter how bad it looks. He can turn it around. Even if we die, he's going to use that. He takes our, as he says, the ashes, the thorns. He makes beautiful roses because he knows how to take things that look dead and bring it to life. Unless you die, you can't be useful. You can't grow again. So there's a whole another message in that, but being in prayer. So do we have a basket we can pass around? Can you just start passing around? If you've written your prayer request, throw it in here. I'm not going to read it out loud. I am going to have Marcy. Does anyone else have a health need here? Health issue. You do. Pastor. Oh, and I do. So I'm going to have Pastor, Marcy's going to pray for the older children. Pastor's going to pray for those with health issues that are battling. These are the type of things we allow to bring us down. I have a daughter that has an extreme health issue, and we can always be praying for her. And she said, I've just come to the conclusion that, as Paul said, you know, this is my thorn in the flesh. I just have to rise above it, you know. This is my thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. And anyway, we may have these thorns in the flesh that are going to keep us humble, but we need to be praying for another. We need to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm really struggling. I was limping for 2 weeks. I had strained something in my hip, and thank God it is better. So, but it's reaching out, praying for one another. And so Pastor's going to pray for those with health issues. And then, Stan, you want to bring the basket up here. Did everyone get their prayer request in there? Oh, she's still writing. Okay. We can wait. But without reading what these are, we're just going to lift this basket. I'm going to have you do that, Jean. Would you mind doing that, lifting the basket and praying for those people with needs? And just praying for the needs in the basket. Some people just can't come to that point of saying, I'm struggling. And I guess for me, like I said, it's going to Marcy and saying, Marcy, I'm really struggling here. You got to find somebody you can humbly say, I'm really struggling. Because I'm going to tell you, I doubt, Pastor, have you ever gotten to a point that you're struggling?
Yeah.
And I had somebody, when I shared about how the Lord was with me growing up, and somebody said, you know, I felt like you're perfect. And I'm thinking, oh, thank goodness, you have no idea. That's why I cry all the time. Lord, why me? You know, I'm so not worth it. I'm worth nothing. But God still has me on earth. And as long as he has me on this earth, I have to do the mission he has set out. Go. It was go. Make disciples of them all. We've got to preach. We have to get Paul's enthusiasm to get out there. And even through the trials and tribulations, to pray. So we're going to hand this to Jean. Jean, well, we all have prayer requests. So I would like everyone to be able to either call, if you don't know Pastor's number, get it, or Marcy's number and get it. And if you see somebody in the congregation and you say, you know what, I'd really like Julia to be my prayer partner, even if you don't know their name, say, you know what, can I have your number so that when I go through struggles, I want to be able to call you and pray, have you pray with me. And all of us, I think most of us would be willing to be somebody's prayer partner, whether we're struggling ourselves or not. And it's like this. Sometimes people call me and say, I'm really, or this lady was telling me about her struggles physically. And I say, oh, I get it. She had thyroid issues. I have thyroid issues. And I said, I get it. And sometimes it's like we don't realize it, but God has us go through this so that we can understand and then pray with them. And so did you have something you wanted to share? No? Okay. I had her hand up. So anyway, I'm going to have Marcy pray first, then Pastor, and then Jean can pray. Now I had one more thing I wanted to bring out. I want everyone to take the step. There's some of you I don't know, and I certainly don't know what all of you have gone through in life, but I want everyone to try to find somebody, whether you're a stranger or not, whether you're coming back or not, find somebody that will be praying for you before you leave. Find somebody that you can say, can I give my number to you? I have had people that have asked me to pray, and I've told them, you know what, I don't care, day or night, here's my number, you can call me. And we have to have that kind of heart to be willing to pray day or night for people. Some people need it at any given hours. And I know Kent Shinaki, he has a great group of people that he prays for and carries that and passes it on to God. And this is the kind of heart we need, is to be there in prayer for one another. And I know this is hard. This is hard for us to find somebody and say, will you be my prayer partner? But we all need it. Besides our mates, we need somebody that's removed from our situation to say, you know what, I need prayer, or my family needs prayer, or my children needs prayer. Will you pray for them? And so I'd like everyone to find someone in the church to get a number from and say, will you pray for me, or pray for me this week on this issue, but somebody that you can contact and get prayer for. Not everybody needs to grab Marcy like I do. Bless her heart. But we need to be there, and so I'd like you all to find somebody to be your prayer partner in life situations. If we hold one another up, it's going to work. If we pray for others, it's going to work. I'll tell you one more story real quickly. I was at a grocery store once, and a lady was crying, and I went up to her, and I prayed for her. Years later, I mean many years later, this lady said, I will never forget you praying for me in that parking lot at Bi-Mart. And she said, I've been going to church ever since. We don't know. We don't know. So be praying for one another. God bless.